Got your Bibles? Let's go to the first song in the song in God's songbook. For those of you just getting started, that's the book called Psalms, and it's right in the middle of your Bible. The easiest way to find it, promise, is go to the very middle of your Bible. Hold your Bible and just go to the very middle, and you're going to go to. You'll be somewhere, depending on how your Bible's built, but it'll be somewhere around the 119th Psalm. Go back to the left if you're that way. Go back to the right if you didn't make it to Psalm. Psalm 1. We're going to the first song of God's songbook. Now, there you go. Everybody find it? Here's what we're going to do, guys. Here's what I'd like for us to do. These songs written by God were sung by folks just like us. In fact, most of the songs that we're going to read through this summer are songs, psalms, that were written by David. If you've been a Bible student for very long, you've heard the stories about David when he kept his father's sheep. And when they got attacked by a bear, he fought the bear and delivered the sheep. They were attacked by a lion. He defended the sheep and killed the lion. He also fought Goliath. And while he was still a young man, he fought a giant. And everybody knew what a wonderful warrior he was. They just believed he was the best. Well, one day he becomes king. And God will say, well, he does a lot of great things as king, and then he does some very bad and shameful things as king. And we'll look at some of those, all of those, as best we can. But God will say about him that he was a man after God's own heart. I love that thought. That the foolishness of my past, and this is not theory, you know it's not theory. The foolishness, the shamefulness, the selfishness of my past does not define me. But it does not have to define me. I do not have to let it define me. Because even a man who made serious, shameful decisions like David could still be counted by God as a man after God's own heart. I'm making no claims that I am, but I want to be. Don't you? I don't know. Lots of us have got lots of things to challenges to face, and we sometimes it's with your kids, sometimes it's with your mate, sometimes it's with your job or your mom or your dad, sometimes it's with your finances. Most of the time, what we struggle with the most, though, is what takes place in us, and it's that battle in our hearts. I want us to win. God wants us to win. And so what I want us to do is I want us to take words written by God, sung by a man like us, and see what we can learn about God, what we can learn about ourselves, what we can learn about how to overcome our past, and how to prepare for our future. Now, the very first psalm, now we won't do it tonight, but what I want us to do every Wednesday night for a while. I want us to have some time for us to sing. Not because you have to have singing before class or it doesn't count. I don't think that's the case. I want us to learn the blessing, the real blessing that songs from God's own words can have for your heart. They can be healing. They can be calming. They can be instructive. They can be comforting. There's just some good things that can take place. And David shows us that when he writes these Psalms. I don't know who wrote this. I don't know that David sang this first one. Doesn't put his name by it. But I got to. It sure sounds like some other stuff he read that he wrote. And that you and I will read over the next few weeks. But here's what he says, okay? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scoffers or the mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, and his leaf does not wither. Now, we're going to stop there for a second, because I want you to hang on to that much. We're going to look at the rest of it. That's important too, but I want you to hang on to those first three verses. In fact, I'm going to ask you to memorize them with me. I don't know that I'll do this every time. Yeah, I probably will, because I'm just that mean. But he said, and I said it, I said blessed. I don't know that there's any place in the world that you ever say blessed unless you read it in the Bible. Have you ever heard somebody say, you should be blessed? No, but we read it in the Bible and we go, blessed. He's saying blessed. Blessed is the man. Now, we got to look at that blessed a little bit. And it's one of the reasons I thought it was important for us to read these Psalms and hopefully to find some songs that we can sing with these words. Our lives, and the fact is, and I guess I'm trying to look, there's a couple of people in here that I don't know just up close and personal, so I can't speak about them, but the rest of you people I know, okay? And here's what we go through on any given day, right? That's us. Things go great. Man, I'm happy, and God loves me, and I'm going to live for Jesus forever. And then I get in and try and crank my car and it won't crank. I'm sad. I'm mad. God probably died or he doesn't love me anymore. And I don't know. I may just go postal. But I know Mark, and I know Mark can fix it. I know when I call Mark, he'll come fix it. And he does. And then I get the bill. You know that? Isn't that how your life goes? Isn't that how your life goes? Up and down. And some days you wake up thinking everything's going to be great. And what happens? Boom! Right off the table. Or some morning you wake up. And I know, see, because I know you, I can look at you. I'm trying not to, but I can look at you. Some of y'all wake up like this. It's the old Eeyore complex. My tail fell off again. I mean, that's, and it doesn't matter what happens the rest of the day. Even good stuff can happen, and you're just, it's not raining yet, but it will, and you know. And if it starts raining, it's going to hail. Yeah, it is. And I mean, you stay grump all the time. But this is how we live our lives. And kids will do something good. Isn't that great? You send them to South Africa, that is fantastic. Had to do it one more time. And then sometimes you get split. You got school teachers that, it's summertime! And it's parents going, oh, it's summertime, you know. All right, that's the way life is. We ride that roller coaster. What God wants us to do is to get off the roller coaster. Not get out of life. We cannot control these issues. We cannot control these issues. But we can learn not to ride the roller coaster of those emotions. We can learn not to ride the waves of our emotions. We can live what he calls as blessed. Now, blessed is a much more even keel life because it's in view of what God is working. It's like what we work on every Wednesday night. It's how God's blessing us. The highest high is still not as good as what God's going to give us in the last day, right? But in the lowest low, the blackest of days, is never as bad as what would it be if we didn't have God. So we learn, we're not looking for happiness. Okay? I'm trying in my life to learn. I'm not looking for happiness. I'm looking for blessing. I'm looking for this blessed life. It's a life that says no to three things. Look at the three things. He does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. What's the second one? He does not stand where? In the way of sinners. And he does not sit in the seat of mockers. My old Bible said scoffers. You see the progression? You see the progression? Walk, stand, sit. Where does God want us walking? With Him. He wants us walking with Him. He wants us walking in the footsteps of Jesus. That's 1 Peter 2:21. We studied it. He wants us walking in the light. That's, we've studied it. 1 John 1:7. He wants us walking with Him. So if we're walking with Him, we are not walking in the counsel of the wicked. Now what does the word counsel mean?
Advice.
Advice. Their way of viewing things. Their way of doing things. Now have we done it? Have you caught yourself having a pretty good day, but you go to work and you get around everybody at work and they're having one of these days and they start talking that way, acting that way, reacting to things that way, and what happens before long? You start to come down because, well, one, you don't want them to think you're an oddball, and two, well, I hadn't thought of it that way. It really hadn't rained yet. It probably will. And if it rains, it could hail. And there's going to be lightning. I could be struck by lightning. And all of a sudden, you start looking at all the negative. The counsel of the wicked, the way the world thinks about things is something bad is always going to happen. I love you, but I know you, and I know good and well. When things are going great and you think this is terrific, things are finally turning around for us, what do you do? I know you. Does anybody want to confess what you do? When things are going great and everything's wonderful, what are you thinking? Something is about to happen. Something bad is about to happen. Because we're constantly looking over our shoulders. Constantly looking over our shoulders. If, I don't know the way, I've seen it. I've seen a guy break free on the football field and he's running for the end zone. He is running hard. He's going to make it. But he starts looking behind him. Every time he starts looking behind him, what happens? Slows down. So guess what happens? You start looking behind you, something will catch you, right? We don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. We're not the source of all wisdom and knowledge, right? My life's obvious proof of that. We are not either. Our experience is not the standard of all human behavior. There is God, y'all. There is the wisdom of God. There's the counsel of God. And so when we walk in the counsel of the wicked, we're not listening to God. Well, where's that going to put you? In this cycle, where's this going to put you if you walk in the counsel of the wicked? It's going to put you down here. Because you're going to be making selfish, cranky, manipulative type decisions, right? All right, but we're not only going to walk with it, we're not going to stand with. Look at the text. Stand with? We're not going to stand with sinners. Now, folks, we are them. But we have, by the grace of God, escaped the judgment that comes on, folks. It's judgment we deserve, but by the grace of God, we escaped. So where do we want to stand? We want to stand over here with Jesus. We want to stand on the right side of things. We want to stand on God's side of things. We don't want to stand with... Now, what happens? What happens at work? Honest, what happens at work? Bad attitudes, a lot of things going on. Even in your own family, it can happen. Boy, you get caught up and tangled up in that, and where do you end up standing? Because you don't want to be different, so what do? You start standing with them and you won't say anything right or wrong. You just stand there. If you want the blessed life, if you don't want to take the roller coaster ride, if you want to get off the roller coaster, you don't walk with the wicked and you don't stand with sinners. Now, let's get this issue handled right now. When I decide that I'm not going to stand over with those sinners doing whatever they're doing, does it say about me that I'm better than they are? No. Am I better than them? No, because where did I stand? Over there. Was I one of them? Am I still one of them? Then why am I not still called one of them? Because God set me free from that. He put me in a place where there is no condemnation. He calls me son. He calls you daughter. He doesn't call us sinners anymore. So we've escaped death, come into life. So what are you going to choose? Do you want to stand in the dark? Or do you want to stand in the light? How many? Don't hold up your hand. Well, you can hold up your hand in this place. You can even say it out loud. How many of you want to crawl under a rock? Just pull it in on top of you so you don't have to mess with anybody, anything anymore. Anybody want to confess? Sometime. Because I don't want to mess with stuff. I don't. Under a rock. What's under a rock? Creepy, crawly kind of stuff, folks. And the truth is, you don't want to be under there. That's where decay is. That's where darkness is. So how do I fight that? Well, I don't. When I get down here, when something bad happens, and I'm not saying things don't. No, if you're a Christian and you love God and you walk with Jesus, then nothing bad will ever happen to you. Just send $20 into our radio program. You know? No, I'm not making a promise like that. I'm saying, are there some things that are going to kick you in the gut? Yes. Are there some things that are going to knock the breath out of you? Yes. Are there some things that are going to break your heart? Yes. Yes, there are. There's some things that are going to break your heart. But how do you deal with those things? You don't crawl under the rock and get in the dark. You turn on the light. You let God see. God, do you see what's happening to me? I need you to tell me what. I want your counsel. Not the counsel of the wicked. I want your counsel. And I want to stand with you over in the light. I don't want to stand with sinners. And I'm sure don't want to sit in the seat of the mockers. Perfect illustration of mockers would be... Go to any football game in the history of the world. Sit by the fattest, out of shape, hairiest, greasiest, scuzziest old guy in the park. And he may have his shirt off, and he may have even the hair on his body painted the color of his team. That's a pleasant thought. Wish I hadn't eaten that chicken, you know. And how does he speak when the quarterback misses a throw? How does he react when the receiver drops the throw? How does he react when the fella gets tackled? Or the guy misses a tackle? He stands up and starts mocking them like he could do better. Right. I'm telling you, guys, I love you, but I know us, but you know what I've heard us do? If you just leave it up to me, if I was the boss of this company, I'd be a better boss. If you left it up to me, I'd be a better teacher at this church. Watch it. You leave it up to me. I don't know how to say this without getting all y'all confused, but if I was my wife's husband or wife's wife and she was my husband, I'd be a better wife. You know what I mean. And if I was my kids, if I was my parents' parents, I'd have. That, yeah, you know what I mean? And what we start doing is we start playing this thing of we affix the blame. You can affix the blame, folks, and it don't affix the problem. Right? We want to make sure there's somebody to blame. It's my boss. It's my husband. It's my teacher. It's my brother. It's my sister. It's my mama. It's my dad. We want to fix the. We want to say they're to blame for what's going on in my life. Guess what? I'm not going to sit with mockers. God doesn't want me sitting with the mockers. In fact, the promise is that if I'll follow Jesus, He'll sit me at His right hand with Jesus. Where do you want to sit? With the folks who think they're in charge or the one who really is in charge? I want to be with the one that's really in charge. So my life can be blessed. I can get off the roller coaster and say this with me. Let me erase them. I don't want to be that nice to you. You can still read those. I am not going to walk, and I'm not going to stand, and I'm not going to
sit.
I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the wicked, and I'm not going to stand in the way of sinners, and I'm not going to sit in the seat of mockers. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. And I'm really glad he started off that way. Because sometimes that's where I got to start. Somebody needs to teach me no about something. You know, with little kids, and I've heard people say, have you met these parents? And if you're one of these parents, I don't apologize. You ought to repent. All right? Have you ever met these parents that don't want to tell their children no, that they want positive discipline? I know a lady who never tells any kid no. They want to be, there's positive discipline. You know what that means? She has become smarter than God. Because did God ever tell anybody no? God figures out He knows the best way to raise kids, right? He raised them. He knows how to raise children. And He said, you tell them no. You don't kill. You don't commit adultery. You don't steal. Don't. And I can remember hearing us preach. I can hear my generation especially. And all we learned at church is a bunch of do's and don'ts. And it looks like most of them forgot. Most of us forgot them. How about going back to just some basic do's and don'ts to start with? There's some things you don't do. Now, it's not just a don't. There are some things you do. So what does He say do? I love how He starts it. But His delight. Tell me what the word delight means. And I want you to... The word delight can't be held to just one word. But what does delight mean?
Enjoyment.
Enjoyment. Delight.
Happy.
Revel.
Desire.
Desire. Delight.
It's like warm white chocolate macadamia cookies coming out of the oven.
Baby. He didn't have to say that. The brownies are even gone. Man. Delight. In fact, let's go. Justin's way of doing it probably is more accurate. Because we can give dictionary words. Enjoyment, revelry. I don't know what revelry is, but much delight. Yeah. Or taps or whatever. Hey, tell me. Tell me, what do you delight in? Delight.
My grandkids.
Grandkids? I got an email from my granddaughter, my youngest one. She's 8 years old. She is eight. And she said something about she loves me, she loves you, me. I love you, Papa. I'll see you Tuesday. I have no idea what she's talking about. I don't know if she's beaming down here or we're beamed up there, but she's going to see me Tuesday. I love it. I save it. I'm not going to... Yours, you'd send me? I delete. Hers, I'm keeping. All right? What do you delight in? Tell me delight.
My son.
What about him?
He is adorable and amazing. He makes me smile.
What is the most amazing thing about him?
His laugh.
Ooh, he's got a good laugh. Isn't there somebody that's got a good laugh? Isn't it fun just to do something to get them to laugh? Tell me something you delight in. And I'm going to have to stop us because we start talking about kids, then we're going to break out in a fight. My kid laughs better than yours, and we don't want to do that. So tell me, and you can't use kids, and can't use grandkids, since I already have to use mine. Tell me something you delight in.
My husband.
Oh, isn't that nice? And he delights in her saying that so he can get credit for it. He betcha. I like that. Tell me. Delight. And you can't use husband. You can't use parents. You can't use children. You can't be people. Tell me something you delight in.
Waking up rested.
What's that like? What's that like? What do you delight in?
Honest and truly is waking up after a horrible, horrible day thinking I'm fixing to go get a drink, but I don't know wake up clean sober the next morning, and I still am grateful to be alive and I still love my God.
To wake up clean, sober, no hangover, no headache, no regrets, that has got to be a good one, right, Brad?
To get to watch God grow stuff in our garden.
Oh, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Tell me something you delight in.
Being able to serve.
See, somebody's got to be, you know, spiritual about this, and Roger's more mature than the rest of us, but that's there are good things that God has given us to do. So let's take the word delight, though, and shove it back in this verse and apply it. He says, but His delight. He doesn't walk. I'm going to try. And notice I'm not making any claim that I'm doing it. I'm going to try to get off this roller coaster. I'm not going to walk in the counsel. You say it. I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the... And I'm not going to stand in the way of sinners. And I'm not going to sit in the seat of the mockers. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, I've got to be honest. When I was a kid and read this for the first time and our teacher was making us memorize it, my first thought was, are you kidding me? Somebody delights in the Bible? Because what did I think about the... Well, what did we think about the Bible? For a long time, what did some of us think about the Bible?
Boring.
Scary. Rules. I mean, you open it. I mean, some of the way some of us were taught, you open it and holler at you, stop that! Oh, and so we got scared of it, you know. I told you to quit that! And so you got scared of it. Or you looked at it like a rule book. When is the last time you saw somebody reading a rule book? Well, if you want a rule about marriage, then it's in this book. And you've heard people teach that way. How about using it like it's an encyclopedia? Every piece of trivia you ever want to know? Who's the oldest man in the Bible? Why do we know that? But his name is Methuselah. How old? Man, you can tell the people that grew up going to church all the time because they were made to memorize this. They thought they couldn't get into heaven unless they knew this. It's 969 years old.
I was going to say
962. 962 doesn't make it. Price is right, 969. All right, now. Sometimes we look at it like it's a dictionary. How many times have you heard somebody, and the Greek word for blessed is blessalotes, and it's used 50, well, this is Hebrew. Hebrew, blessalotes, and it's used 57 times in the three chapters of the Psalms. So? I don't know what blessalotes means. He said blessed here. I don't even say the word blessed. This is not a dictionary, though it's got words that are defined as God would define them. And we ought to really pay attention to how God defined words like faith, not feeling. Love, it's not lust. Hope, it's not wish, it's expectation. Right? We ought to learn His words, His definition of those words. It's an encyclopedia filled. This is full of wonderful knowledge. This will tell you where Jesus was born. This will tell you what Jesus did when He was alive. And if God really did become flesh, I think maybe we ought to spend the time really trying to look at what would God do if He was human. Because He was. But this book is a book that reveals God to us. These laws show us into the heart of God. And they reflect how we can and should react to Him, and reassures of how He's going to react to us. Tell me, and this just for fun, and you don't have to tell me where it's found. Tell me your favorite verse. Tell me a verse that you just like. And I'd prefer you not read it. I just want to, your translation, Rex's Revised.
Let not your heart be troubled.
Ooh. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Because in my Father's house there are many rooms. And if it wasn't so, I would have told you. But I'll go and I'll prepare a place for you. And when I come, I'll receive you unto myself. Guys, we don't have to be troubled. God has room for us. What's your favorite verse?
These passages understand.
Oh, man. Let your forbearance, let your patience be known to all men. And let the peace of Christ will fill you up. The peace that passes understanding. What's your favorite verse?
Lean not on your own understanding.
Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways. And He will, my old Bible said it, direct your steps. What's your favorite verse? One more time.
You will be overtaken with joy and sorrow and sighing will flee you.
And sighing will flee you. Where is that?
I don't know.
Oh, that's a good one. You don't have to know it, but I find it. I want to know it. That one was new to me. I like that. I like that. Give me one you love. Just a verse you like.
I have a plan for you.
Oh, man. Guys, do you know that the days for you were ordained by God, were written in His book? He has a plan for you. God has a plan for all of us. And as surely as He planned Moses and kept him safe there when he was hiding as a baby in the Nile River, God had a plan for you. That's why He worked to make sure your mama got you here safe. Whether she wanted you or not, it's not the point. The fact that you're here, that's the point. God has you here. He wants you here. Tell me your favorite verse.
While we were still sinners, Christ died.
That's a good one, isn't it? He didn't wait until we cleaned our act up. He gave His gift before we ever responded. That's what love is. Love gives a gift without the other person responding. Say one more time.
I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've guarded you with loving kindness.
I loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting means?
Never-ending.
This is the never-ending story. This is the never-ending love. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or anguish, or peril, nakedness, sword? No. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Tell me your favorite verse.
By His wounds we are healed.
By His wounds we are healed. Give me your favorite verse.
I don't know if it's my favorite. I was reading last night. And this is after David's already dead. And it said, you know, you didn't follow me like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all of his heart, doing what was right in my eyes. And this is all God remembered of David. He didn't remember.
Ooh.
We always, when we think of David, we think of all the things he did wrong, and God's just pointing out to this other person. He followed me. He followed my commandments. God didn't remember all the things David did.
Have you heard the verse, Zephaniah? If you've talked to me more than 3 times, I'm sure I've told you. You ought to remember it. The Lord is mighty to save, and He will quiet you with His singing. God sings for us a lullaby. He'll quiet us. He comforts us. All kinds of verses out there, aren't there? Delight in the Word of God. Delight in His law. If I overstate this, I'll be misunderstood. And I know you wouldn't misunderstand me, so I'll say it, though, in the proper way. Study your Bible. Learn it inside and out. Learn how old Methuselah was when he died. Don't forget where Jesus was born. Every detail you can learn, learn it. And read every book. Read the great stories of Genesis and Exodus. And make yourself struggle through those laws and the ashes and the blood and the goats and the cows. Who do through all the law. Don't miss a chance to cross the Red Sea in Exodus. Don't miss the chance of stepping in the Jordan and watching it dry up in Joshua. Don't miss that battle of Jericho. Don't miss the Judges. Don't miss Othniel and Ehud and Shamgar and Deborah and Gideon and Abimelech. Don't you dare miss Samson. Don't miss those great stories. Don't miss Jesus. Born of a virgin, laid to rest in a manger and a feeding trough. Don't miss those stories. Don't miss the power of His miracles. Don't miss the compassion of His death. Don't miss the victory of His resurrection. Don't miss us. Don't miss the day the Spirit came and filled men with power and they preached the gospel all over the world. Don't miss those wonderful things. Don't miss the end where Jesus comes and conquers every enemy and brings us home. Don't miss those things. Don't miss the commandments that tell you to love God and love your neighbor and love each other. Don't miss those. Don't miss the great and I'm using the word respectfully. Sometimes I don't, I think you hear me say it more slang than respect, but don't miss the theology of the eternal nature of God. Don't miss the theology of the unlimited grace of God. Don't miss the peace that those doctrines that show us the peace that passes understanding. Don't miss that the shamefulness of sin. Don't miss understanding what true redemption cost God and spared us. Don't miss those things. But let me give you just a place to start. If you're just needing a place to start, just look for a favorite verse. Just start there. Find some word from God that touches your heart. Find some word from God that gives comfort to you. Find some word from God that opens up your hope. Find some word from God that you like. And hold on to it. And then find another. And then find another. And then find another. I know men and was blessed by them as my teachers, who could start quoting in one place and quote all the way through. They knew everything in the Bible. They knew what was in every chapter of the Bible. You say a verse, they knew exactly where it was. I was impressed and blessed by those men. But until you get to that place, and that's a worthy goal, until you get to that place, find you one verse. You may have to look a while, but find one verse that speaks to you and for you and blesses you. Get off the roller coaster. Quit thinking about what might have been or what you wanted to be or what happened and what probably is going to happen tomorrow. Get your mind off those things and start hanging on to those words that come from God. Because those are the only words that are eternal. And look what will happen to your life. If you delight on the law of the Lord, and on His law you meditate day and night. Now you know about meditate, right? We won't spend a lot of time there. Meditate means what?
Listen.
Meditate.
Concentrate.
Meditate.
Think about.
Meditate. This is not necessarily a pleasant picture, but the illustration is the cow that chews the cud. You know, they eat a meal and then they bring it up and chew it some more and put it down and bring it up and chew it some more. That's really what he's talking about. That's what meditation is. You put something in your heart and then you bring it up and think about it again. What happens if in my life I start, when I'm driving my car and people are cutting in front of me and they're honking at me and we're waving with that hand broken like it is. What if I focus, take my focus off that and start remembering? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be made known to all men. And the peace that passes understanding will fill your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What when that somebody, when that mate or my kids or my parents are out of sorts with me? What if I can remember that He made me precious, He made me wonderful, He made me good, and He has a plan for me? And nobody else in the world may believe that, but God believes it, and if God says it, that settles it. Because it's always right to agree with God. And then when your own heart belches guilt, belches shame, when your own heart brings it, instead of wallowing in what you did and what probably is going to happen because you did it again, instead of doing that, why don't you do this? Remember the verse that says, and these words from God were set to set your heart at rest, that God is greater than your heart and He knows all things. When your heart condemns you, God means to comfort you because He's greater than your heart. What if we started to let that be what we thought about rather than the things that we spend our time thinking about? Well, if I tell him, I'll see him next time I tell her, I'll see him, I tell her what hey, they said, she said, they told me to. Instead of having those silly conversations that waste our energy, instead of going back to the past and picking scabs, how about we start meditating on things that are delightful? Word of God. Look what happens if you do. Your life will be like a tree planted by a stream of water. It's an illustration. Tell me what the picture is. Big old healthy tree, right? Big old healthy shade tree. But not just a shade tree, because it brings forth fruit in its season. What kind of fruit do you want it to be?
Fig.
Fig?
I'm sorry. I just thought
of fig. I mean, if you get to pick one, don't pick fig, okay? Jeez. Probably was back then, but fig. I want it to be a lime tree.
No.
What? Fig. Fig popped into your head?
My father had a little fig tree next to his house in the back, and I didn't find it until like that last year we lived out there in his house.
Does a fig taste like the fig in Fig Newton?
Yeah.
It does? Really? Tastes better? Okay, so I apologize for mocking Ruby about figs. It was her grandfather's fig tree. So it's like a fig tree. What do you want it to be? It doesn't matter, does it?
Cherry.
But it's a tree that brings forth fruit in its season. It means it's healthy. Keep reading. And its leaf does not wither. Now I want you to underline whatever he does. What is it? What? Prosperous. I don't know about bank accounts. Make no predictions. I don't know about doctor's exams. Make no predictions. But the word of the eternal, almighty, loving God through the song sung by this man said that if I delight in the law of the Lord and I meditate on it day and night, my life will prosper. And I'll be like a tree that brings forth fruit in its season and it doesn't wither in the wintertime. And whatever I do will prosper. Now, make sure we hear the warning. It's not so with the wicked. They're like chaff, the wind blows away. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Nope, they're not going to be allowed, y'all. That's not our doing. That's not our choice. That's not our judgment. That's God's. He settles it. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Did you hear him? That warning is to those who don't want to walk in his counsel, don't want to stand in his light, and don't want to sit at his right hand. But we're not like that. We want our lives to be blessed. So, shut your Bibles. Shut your Bibles. I'm watching. Shut your Bibles. So the blessed person is a person that will not walk in the counsel of the, and he will not stand in the way of, and he will not sit in the seat of, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And what does he do? Meditates when? Day and night. And he will be like a planted by a stream of water. And it will bring forth fruit. It will bring forth figs or other fruit in its season. And its leaf will not. And whatsoever he does will prosper. Somebody in here, I know Kelly has the ability. He's teaching our kids, and I'd rather him be over there than here right now. But somebody, some of you folks know music. Some of you know you have that gift. You got to take those words, some combination of those words, and put those together to a song where we could sing. We'll remember it if we can sing it. And come up with some little ditty for us to sing, some hymn, some song of praise, some song that lets these words rest in our hearts. Because if we have the tune, if we can sing it, we'll remember it. We'll end with this prayer. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, brings forth fruit in its season, and leaf will not wither. For whatsoever he does will prosper. Amen. Amen. Thanks, y'all.
Thank y'all. Thank you.